Acts chapter 10, the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now here we have a clear, understandable, unambiguous, unmistakable statement as to the origin of sickness. It tells us clearly the source of sickness, and it tells us clearly who is the healer. People, rather than take clear, unambiguous scriptures like Acts 10:38 and others, of which there are dozens, and they will let one or two confusing scriptures throw them off. So we need to know that God is our healer without a doubt. At the end of tonight, I'm going to read an email that I got from one of our radio listeners talking about someone who thought just the opposite of what the Bible teaches, a pastor's wife. Of course, if she believes that, then the whole church probably believes that, their church, wherever it is. We cannot take clear scriptures, especially in the New Testament, and then get confused. Psalm 8:4 tells us that God gave man dominion on the earth. And the Bible tells us in Genesis that everything that God created was good. So what happened? Well, what happened was Adam messed up. Amen? And the earth got messed up. And the earth became cursed. And sickness and sin and Satan entered this world. And Satan became the god of this world. And that's why Jesus came to create a new kingdom, the kingdom of God, independent of the kingdom of Satan. So everything that God created was good, and God is the healer. And people say, oh yeah, inevitably, people will say, they may have never read Acts 10:38, but they've heard of Paul's thorn. They've got one question about why God doesn't heal, even though they've never read 100 scriptures of why God does heal. And of course, the problem is, that's what they've heard in church. They didn't think that up. They didn't study that and come upon Paul's thorn all by themselves. So let's turn over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But we want to start in chapter 11 just to get the context. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, there have been people showed up in the church at Corinth. You understand, Paul's been gone for a couple of years. People have come in and tried to say that they were apostles and Paul wasn't, and people got to do this and that and the other thing. And Paul says here in chapter 11, verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. So he spends the rest of that chapter talking about why he's an apostle. Now then let's jump to chapter 12, verse 1. Boasting is necessary, though it's not profitable, but I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. So he's trying to convince these people again that he is the one told them the truth and they've been lied to. He said, I know a man in Christ 14 years ago, and of course he's talking about himself here. Whether in the body I do not know, or out of the body I don't know. God knows such a man was caught up to the third heaven. And I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which a man is not permitted to speak. On behalf of such a man I will boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast, except in regard to my weaknesses. For if I do wish to boast, I shall not be foolish, for I shall be speaking the truth. But I refrain from this so that no one may credit me with more than he sees in me or hears from me. Now, starting in verse 7, we get to the part where men have thrown out the clear statements of the Bible and put in their own experience and their own observations and their own interpretations. Now, before we go on here to talk specifically about Paul's thorn, I want to give you four scriptures as a backdrop or to frame this argument. First of all, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 says this, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." He said, you know, most people think, well, I have the right to interpret the Bible any way I want to. No, you don't. You have a right to believe the Bible. The Bible interprets the Bible. So everyone claims, you can read any book on Bible interpretation and they'll tell you, oh, the best interpreter of the Bible is the Bible. But you will see that in talking about Paul's thorn, they've decided to make an exception to that rule. That's the first scripture. Second scripture is right behind me, Exodus 15, 26. "For I am the Lord your healer," or "I am the Lord that healeth thee," or "I am the Lord who heals you." Pretty clear statement, isn't it? Psalm 103, verse 2. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." Now, apparently, Paul was not a you. He didn't qualify for this, according to commentators. Number four, Acts 10:38, we've already read it, but I want to read it again from the New American Standard Bible. It says, "You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Now, let's read on what about Paul's thorn, or the thorn that was attacking Paul, beginning in verse 7. I'm going to first just read these few verses, and then I'm going to read you some commentaries that people have said about these verses, and then we're going to speak the truth. Verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So, there's a common teaching, widely accepted, that because of this, that God does not choose to heal everyone. Or they take this as some kind of proof. But let's look at it. And their general statement, and then I'm going to give you some direct quotes. Their general idea of many commentators, in fact, most commentators, is that God gave Paul some sort of sickness or chronic disease or condition in order to keep Paul humble. Three times, Paul asked God to heal him, to remove it, and in God's great wisdom, he would not, but told Paul his grace was sufficient.